Father, we thank you this morning as we come into your presence. The entrance of your word gives life. You have commanded us to come with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in that time of need. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, this morning. Lord, we enter in. We enter in, Lord. We enter in this morning. Clothe us with garments of praise. Lord, the cloaks of righteousness. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Even the garments of salvation. In the name of Jesus this morning, we thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Receive all the glory. Receive all the praise. In Jesus' name. Good morning, everyone, again. I'm going to get right to this right now. You are here in another hour of power. Let's get that prayer fire going this morning. Put some fire into your prayer. That's what it's all about. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get some secrets that to get you 100%, 100% results every time. 100%. Not maybe, not sometimes, not perhaps, you know, not yes and no, but yea and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go in. Can you come in this morning and walk with me on the coals of fire this morning? Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12. Our theme scripture as we get into this. He says that the fire, 12 and 13, fire must always be burning. Let it be burning in our hearts. Bring wood upon it every morning. Lay it in order and glory to God. Fire it up. Are you fired up this morning? Are you ready to go? I am fired up. Glory to God. Let the Spirit of God ignite that flame. You know, the coals of fire, it split the atmosphere and sat upon each one of them. And my goodness, their lives were transformed. Transformed. Glory to God. The one guy that could not even witness Christ to a maid, shied away, denied him, and so forth. He stood up after that fire, and he indicted that whole generation. Say, ye have crucified him. Glory to God. And 3,000 souls, right there and then, gave their lives, turned their hearts over. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, let the fire be ever burning. It shall not be put out. Let the priests, yes, burn wood upon it every morning, such as this. Let them lay the burnt offering upon it in order. Glory to God. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall not go out. Let me share you some secrets. I love these things that I'm going to talk about this morning. You know, these are secrets that help our prayer life. There are two sides to prayer. One is when we are talking to our Heavenly Father, because that's what Jesus said, you know. And the other side is when we are, you know, acting out what we are asking for. You know, you got to act it out. You got to speak to the situation. You got to carry on your life to match what you're praying about. We can't pray one thing and then be doing something in the opposite direction. That's not going to work. So when we pray, glory to God, then we must also at the same time, you know, let our lives match what we are praying. I want you to take a minute. And God bless you as you do. Share the room. You know, share the room to some of your contacts that you see that are online. Or just share the room in your own hallway. We want to see some shares. Go ahead and share the room. And let's see how God will bless others. Because we want others to be blessed. You know, lives will be changed. You know, prayer patterns, prayer lives will be changed. You know, when we know the proper way to pray and to align our life with the prayer that we are praying. Glory to God. So take a minute, share, you know, help me share the room, share it with the share button. You look down there, you see the share button, share it. You can also, share it in on top of your profile to let people know that you are in the prayer fire room. Hallelujah. And then you can click some folks and invite them in. And let's see who the wind of the Spirit will bring in today. You know, and it's going to be a blessing. What a great thing if we can always get our prayers answered. 100%, not 90, not 95, not even 98. 100% all the time. Amazing. You know, and what we will put in your hands this morning, I've shared this multiple times, you know, Kian Clubhouse, our local church, people around me, my kids, everybody. You know, you got to walk in this. But you know, the word of God is ever new. Even if you hear it again, it's just like reading the Bible. You can read the Bible and come back and read it again. And then, you know, hidden treasures begin to open up to you, even though you've read it before, even though you've heard it before. You know, every time you hear the word of God again, it should be new. Hallelujah. You know, it should always be new. Always new. So there's always something fresh. And I pray that the Lord will do something new in our lives today. The Lord said, I will do something new. And shall you not know it? Something new. Something new. Glory to God. So here we go. I'm going to start here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. And I call this faith specs. Now, some of you may have heard this before, but listen to it again today. There are gems in this. This is how you get your prayer fired up. You know, Jesus told us, he said, look, when you pray, don't use vain repetition. Vain repetition, just saying the same thing over again, that means nothing. You know, don't use vain repetition. You know, whether you are praying with your understanding or praying in the spirit, don't use vain repetition. But, you know, you need to know how to get your prayers answered. All of us need to do that. And sometimes we forget these basic principles, you know, that we bring out here this morning. You know, I call them faith specs. You might also call it the anatomy of faith or the essentials of faith. This is how it works. And it's point blank. That's, we're going to lay it out today. Hebrews 11 and 13 brings out an incredible understanding of the process. And if you catch the process and practice it all the time, you can approximate 100% in your prayer life, you know, and that would be a beautiful thing to behold if your prayers are always answered. Well, there are many reasons why they're not answered. Perhaps the Lord will reveal to you some of them today, you know, and you know, enable you and empower you and equip you to get more of your prayers answered. So it's not just about screaming and yelling and raising our voice, you know. I mean, sometimes when people pray, you know, we go into these high pitch things and we start to scream and we start to do all of these things as if God is deaf. He's not deaf. I mean, Elijah, he taunted the prophets of Baal. He said, why don't you scream a little louder? Because maybe he's talking on the phone. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he went on a journey. Maybe he needs to be woken up. You know, maybe he's distracted. You know, shout a little more. You know, and so forth. And they began to shout, cut themselves to pieces and all that. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Because, you know, they were praying to something that was no God. So now, we don't need to shout. We don't need to scream. You know, however, the Holy Ghost can move you into groanings. You know, most of the time, when you're really traveling in prayer, it's for somebody else. You know, as the scripture says, they say, you know, first of all, let, you know, that people should make prayers everywhere, lifting up holy hands, you know, prayers, supplication, you know, you know, intercessions and giving of thanks. Those intercessions is where groanings really come. And it's usually for somebody else, you know, but for you or for, you know, the eternal purposes of God, for the body of Christ or for something or for bringing souls, you know, and so forth, you know, but for you, really, you don't need to groan, you know, for something that your Father has already given you. You know, we don't need to, you know, lament in prayer and toil and all of these things for the things that are freely given us already. I mean, can you imagine? I'm a parent and by the grace of God, also a grandparent, you know, and, you know, so, you know, if my kids would need food, like when they were young, you know, I mean, do they need to groan and, you know, ask and toil and scream and shout and so forth before I give them what they need? I'm not talking about what they want, but what they need. You know, we don't need to do that. You know, so listen to how Jesus told his disciples to pray. Say, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. So right away, we establish that connection. Jesus wanted people to establish that connection. Come to him as your Father. No need to be yelling. No need to be screaming. No need to be hollering and all of that. You know, you can yell and holler when you deal with the devil and other things. But when you deal with the Lord, just speak to him. He's your Father. He hears you already. You know, praise God. You know, and Jesus said, look, they think that they will be heard for their much speaking, you know, or their much hollering. No, that's not how you will be heard. You know, but he said, Jesus said, but you, when you pray, just say it this way. You know, just talk to your Father. You know, so that's one way, you know, that's one element or one, you know, one half of how we pray and how we deal with prayer. The other half is how we deal with situations, how we carry out, you know, what, you know, we are praying about. And that's what I'm dealing with today, you know. So because this room is, you know, prayer fire room, but you know, God doesn't want strange fire. You remember he told the children of Israel, you know, I don't want strange fire in the camp. You know, we don't want strange fire, you know. And people see fire, you know, they come to the room, say, fire, what is fire? And they start praying all kinds of things that God doesn't even care about. You know, no, you know, we got to pray according to the word of God. You know, you can't just be saying things, you know, and then think that God's going to be moved by that, you know, and then we can't just be using vain repetitions and think that that's what, you know, you can pray for an hour just using vain repetitions. And maybe the substance of that prayer was only 3 minutes, you know. So now there is a place for prayer. There is a place to get in there and pray. Jesus told his disciples, you can't you even pray with me for 1 hour? So we're not dismissing, you know, time spent in prayer. As a matter of fact, most of the time spent in prayer, when spent right, is just to worship him, you know, to just stay in his presence and just to love on him, you know, and just love on him, just stay in his presence, just love on him. And he'll drop some things in your heart, what to pray for, you know, and then you begin to pray, you know, about it. Or, you know, the Holy Ghost will begin to move in you and you begin to pray for people you may not even know, you know, when you begin to pray in the spirit and things like that. But, you know, but it's not about just, you know, spending an hour asking for things that God already gave us. I mean, what is that all about? You know, I mean, pray, 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 shout, 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 scream, scream, scream on the things, for the things that he has already given us. No, that's not it. But I'm going to show you a more excellent way here this morning. You know, Paul said, look, yeah, you know, it's good. I mean, it's good that we know how to pray, you know, but I will show you a more excellent way. It's good that we know how to, you know, the Bible, and we're not dismissing the fervent, effectual prayer. That's fervent prayer. And some people think fervency means you have to yell. No, you know, fervency doesn't mean you have to yell. Fervency just means that you are persistent, you are consistent, you will not yield, you will not give in, you will not give ground, you will just stay right there and be fervent with it, you know, so. And you will not be, you know, maybe and so forth. No, you will be assertive. You know what you are saying, you know, because it's based on the word of God. You know, so I've laid enough foundation for that. So now let me dive into this. Watch this. Hebrews 11, verse 13. This whole chapter of Hebrews talks about faith, stories of faith. Well, I tell you what, you know, that chapter never closed. You know, maybe those who compiled it in those days stopped writing it, but it's still being written. Amma, what is being written about your story? You know, what is being written about your story? I mean, are you going to be, you know, when the books are open? Remember, there was a book of life, and then there were other books that were opened. Now, when the books are opened, because there's a lot of people in this world, so there's going to be a lot of books. You know, what will be written in the chapters about you? You know, what is being written? Is it a wishy-washy, or is it a powerful faith? Somebody that had power with God because they knew how to get things done in prayer. Is that what your testimony will be? You know, now these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. If you've never heard me teach this before, these are my faith specs. And I love to use acronyms when I teach. This acronym, S-P-E-C, spec, right here in this verse. Let's analyze it. Let's break it down. You know, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So that's the S. What does that S stand for? Now remember, I'm talking about the anatomy of faith. Faith specs. I'm trying to break it down here. You know, let me break down what faith really is right here. The first thing, the first element of faith, because these are the heroes of faith it's talking about. The first element of faith is that they saw the promise afar off. You know, and what that means, what that translates for us today is that you must see the promise first. That's like, search the scriptures, Jesus said, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. Search the scriptures, for inside of them are contained the promises of God. And I'm going to give you a whole load of promises of God today, if I have time. You know, the promises of God are loaded in that scripture. They're loaded in the scriptures. So, first thing is this. Search the scriptures. That's the S. Search the scriptures to see that you can find a promise for what God has said concerning what you are praying for. Now, if you cannot find the scripture, don't bother to pray. That's just it. You know, people pray about stuff that God has not said, you know, and they waste their time. You know, Lamentation 3:37 will tell you, who is it that saith, and it comes to pass when God has not commanded it? That's it right there. If God has not commanded it, you can pray all you want. You can scream all you want. You can shout all you want. That's not going to make any difference. You know, so first, find what God has already said. These are the principles, you know. In other lessons, I call them the principles of the oracles of God. You know, and I broke them down into two parts, there's seven of them. Today, I'm only covering four, you know, four of these that I call specs, faith specs. So the first thing is, take a little time, do your research, check the scriptures out, find the promise for what he's saying concerning what you are trying to pray about. Now, you know, this is where people are lazy. You know, I'm not talking about people in this room necessarily. I'm just talking generally. You know, we are lazy. You know, I tend to do that sometimes too. We don't want to do our homework. We just want to make God do our thing. That's not how it works. You know, we got to align ourselves with God. It's not God that's going to align himself with us. You know, it says in the book of Amos, he said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Yes, they cannot walk together except they be agreed. But yes, we must be agreed with God to walk with him, you know, but it's we are the ones that must agree with him, not him agreeing with us. You know, God, you know, this is God. God is the owner of the field. It's his game. He has the ball. He's the umpire. I mean, anything you want to think of, it's all his. And I often say to people jokingly, I say, well, if you don't like that, you can move to another universe. But in this universe, God is all, you know, and so his word is all. And so, you know, to get him to really move and do something for you, rather than screaming and shouting, just find out what he has already said about what you are looking for. It's that simple. So S means search the scriptures, see the promise. You know, so, I mean, let's say I'm trying to pray for healing, for instance. You know, well, there are many scriptures. You can start all the way from Exodus 15:26, and we can begin to read it all the way down. Find those scriptures that are specific to the thing. But, for instance, in Exodus 26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, but 15:26. But sometimes these promises carry some conditions. Conditions. You know, so when you search the promise, you find it. Don't ignore the condition, because you cannot make God change his word. That's not going to happen. If God has to change his word for you, he might kill you for it. So don't try to get him to change his word. Remember, Balaam, the Lord already told him what he wanted, you know, and he was struggling to make God to change his word. The angel said, don't do it. You can't, don't go there. You know, the Lord told him that. And he said, well, you know, whatever, you know, and he was, you know, and he was greedy, you know, because of the gain that was promised him. And he wanted to make God change his word. And God said, okay, fine. You know, but the angel of the Lord was waiting on the way to kill him, you know, except for the ass that saved him that day. You know, so God's not going to change his word for anybody, you know, so rather than trying to get God to do something that he has not said, you know, which would be like changing his word, just find what he's already said, you know, and when he find what he's already said, then find the conditions around that thing, you know. So if you will obey my voice indeed, you know, he said to them, that will be a kingdom of priests unto me. Well, if you don't want to obey his voice, or you don't even want to hear his voice, then you cannot be that, you know. So, all right. So that's a promise for healing. You know, what about other promises? You know, what about promise of salvation for your children? Salvation for your family. What about that? You know, Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. You know, y'all shall be saved and your household. I mean, what about promises for your children? You know, when they are, you know, languishing away in the wrong place, and you want them to come back. So you got to do a little homework. You got to do your homework. You got to search the scriptures. There's no shortcut to this thing, folks. You know, actually the shortcut, you know, people say that, you know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Well, a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. That's one definition. Well, the shortest distance between your prayer and the result that you are looking for is starting from the word of God. You can't do it any other way. You know, Isaiah 8 and 20 says, if it is not according to the word, there's no light in the thing. You know, and God is light. 1 John 1 and 5. There's no darkness in him at all. You know, so God's not going to be in something that has no light. And if it is not according to the word, then there is no light in it. You know, so once we know that, we find the scripture. When you find the scripture, many promises, Isaiah 49:25, you know, The Lord said, look, I will contend with him that contended with thee. I will save your children. Well, did he say that? Yeah. There are other promises that say, you know, that, you know, I mean, this room is not really about the promises. Maybe one day I'll do that. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time. I just want to bring the point. Find the promise of what he has promised before you begin to pray. That is more critical than just praying, you know, and just spending hours in prayer. And when we don't even know, you know, what we're praying about, whether God has promised it or not. Jeremiah 31 and verse 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For thy work concerning your children shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they, your children, shall come again from the land of the enemy. That's right. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their border. Yeah, that's a point blank promise concerning your children when you're praying for them when they've gone astray. You know, so I mean, there's many of these promises. So that's the S. S is to see the scriptures. Remember, we're talking about faith specs. This is how to get on fire into your prayer. It's not by screaming. No, I cannot say that enough. How you get fire into your prayer, you know, we are all emotional folks. We like to scream, we like to yell, we like to raise our voice, especially when you're praying about something that really touches you. You know, we find that our intonation goes up, we scream, we yell and all that. And that's good. No problem. But I'm showing you a more excellent way. The more excellent way is you know, and I'm a yeller, I'm a screamer, I'm a hollerer too, you know, so I'm not bashing that. I holler, I yell, I scream, you know, but I know that in order for me to get things going for me, it's not my yelling, it's not my hollering, it's not my screaming, it's these principles that I'm laying out today, you know. See the scriptures, that's the S. Then the next thing is this, you know. He said, not only did they see the promise afar off, they were persuaded. So that's the P. So you remember I'm talking about faith specs, S-P-E-C. It's very simple, you know. It's very simple. We're breaking it down, you know. So we're unpacking this scripture. This scripture is loaded, but we're unpacking it. Hebrews 11:13, if you just came in, is what we're dealing with. Now, after you've seen the promise, you search the scriptures, that's the S, you see a promise for what you're about to pray, you know, then you be persuaded. Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded? You know, well, I don't know. You know, if you're not persuaded, then don't pray. The Bible said that Abraham was persuaded, you know, that God was able to do, you know, what he promised, you know, and he did not stagger, you know, in faith. You know, he was strong in faith, and he gave, you know, he was persuaded that God was able to do. Let me read you that scripture in Romans 4. He said, being not weak in faith, verse 19, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith. I mean, he didn't doubt. He just gave in to his wife just to, you know, appease her. It's not that, you know, Abraham never doubted in his heart. He knew that God was going to do it. He was fully persuaded. Verse 21, being fully persuaded, you know, that what he, God, had promised, he also is able to perform. Are you persuaded? That's the P. So we covered the C, the scriptures. We covered the P, being persuaded. Now, I can tell you this. You know, there are many things that Paul gave his testimony. I am persuaded. He wrote in Romans chapter 8. And he began to tell, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And he began to say about all the things that he is persuaded about. And you can read that for yourself in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. But that's Paul. That's Paul's testimony. Don't just quote it. You know, People just quote the things that Paul said. Some people say, Paul said, we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. So they quote it. And they are very ignorant. They have no clue. You know, they go about without prudence. They go about without counsel. They go about without sound judgment. And they say, we are not ignorant. You could be very well ignorant. Well, let's not just quote what some apostle wrote in the Bible. You know, is that your testimony for yourself? Hallelujah. Now, this is prayer fire. This is how to get that fire lit under your prayer. That's it. You know, be persuaded. And I can tell you this, most believers are indeed persuaded. You know, even the devil, he knows that God can do all things. He believes even in one God and he trembles. So most everybody, knows that God can do these things. Well, the challenge though comes in the next step, you know, which is embrace. He said they were persuaded and then they embraced. So let's go back to our scripture for today. Hebrews 11, verse 13. That's our scripture for today. These all died in faith, you know, not having seen the promises, but, you know, they saw them afar off and they were persuaded that God is able to do, you know, whatever it is that he promised. And not only that, they embraced it for their situation. And then they began to, you know, confess that they were pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. So we're covering faith specs. And we've covered, you know, a couple of things here. We've covered the S. I'm using an acronym to teach this. The S is to see the promise. We are covering now the P is to be persuaded of those promises. Now, let's cover also the E, which is to be embraced, you know, embrace. Hallelujah. You know, I just saw that someone was asking for the scripture, so I posted it. And Lamentation 3:37 is the other one. Mr. Phyllis, God bless you. I saw your question there. But Lamentation 3:37 is that scripture. And it talks about, you know, that's the one that says you can't get God to do anything unless it's what he already said. And that's basically it. So we need to get this into our heads. Who is it that saith and it comes to pass when God has not commanded it? So let's not just be praying anything we want. You know, that's not going to work. You know, we got to pray what God's already said. Okay. So back to Hebrews 11:13. And if anyone can be posting the scriptures when you hear them, that'd be great. So we covered the seed is promise. We covered the being persuaded, S-P-E-C. There are two more to cover, E and C. E is to embrace the situation. And embrace the promise for your situation. I'm going to tell you the difference between persuade and embrace. Persuade is everybody knows God can do everything, you know. So everybody knows. You say, oh, yeah, he's Almighty God. He can do all these things, you know. But when it comes to the situation at hand, most people will not embrace that almightiness of God for that situation. That's the story we find in John chapter 11. When Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus and said to Martha, if thou canst only believe, you know, you will see the glory of God. And then Jesus told her a few things. And he said, believest thou this? It's not that, do you believe in God? No, he wasn't asking that. But do you believe this thing right here that I just said? Not all the other stuff that we know God can do. God can part the Red Sea. You know, God can call out frogs and lies and all of this. God can bring down fire. God can do all these things. God can raise the dead. We know all that. But do you believe this one thing for this very situation? Everybody believes that God can raise the dead. Or at least most people who, any kind of believer knows that. You know, but if some loved one were to die, God forbid, would you believe God for that particular thing? I mean, not just some random thing. And look at what Martha said when Jesus was speaking to her. She was just saying something else. Jesus said, look, he that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And, you know, and I mean, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he said, do you believe this? And she said, well, yeah, you know. And so on and so forth. Yeah, I believe my brother will rise in the resurrection. Well, she didn't. She did not embrace what Christ was saying for that moment. I mean, she was believing all these other things. Yeah, and when Jesus told her something, I said, yeah, I know you are the Christ. Jesus said, when she was talking about resurrection, he said, no, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? He said, yeah, I know that you are the Christ, that you come. She wasn't embracing for that very moment. It was just the mercy of God, because Jesus already wanted to show the disciples that he can call somebody out of the grave. Otherwise, that situation would have remained like that, you know, because she wasn't embracing Christ in the moment. She was just embracing Christ in the future, embracing Christ for all the great things that he can do. You are the Messiah. You know, in the resurrection, my brother will rise and all that. And Jesus was talking about right now, right here. Do you embrace it for your situation? So that's the difference between persuaded. You know, yeah, she was persuaded that Jesus is the Christ. She was persuaded that, you know, in the resurrection, her brother would come out. She knew that. But could she embrace that for the moment? No, because she feels it's too late. He's already 4 days in the grave. He's already stinking, you know, so she cannot embrace it for the situation. She just can't. So that's the difference between being persuaded and embracing it. So the next time you pray, check yourself out. Well, we know that you know that God is able to do all things. But do you know that he's able to do this one thing? And do you actually know that he's going to do it? And that's the difference. That can make all the difference in the world. When they were facing the penalty of death, 7 times heated up in the fiery burning furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said this: our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. End of story. You know, I mean, so these, they were not only persuaded that he is able to do it, they embrace his deliverance for the moment. He will deliver us. Now, he's able and he will. He's able means you are persuaded. But do you know that he will do it? You know, these people knew he would do it. They said, well, okay. But in any case, just to let you know that, you know, where our stand is unshakable, whether he delivers us or doesn't, we're not going to bow. But we know he will deliver us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when you come to God like that, when you not only know that he can do it, but you know that he will do it, now that's embracing. You know he will do it. And that's what you do when God gives you a promise like that. And tells you that you are going to be the father of nations when you don't have a child. What do? You are persuaded that he is going to do it. But what do you do to show that you embrace it? You change your name. You change your name, which leads us to the next part, which is confess. So we are talking about S, for search the scriptures, find a promise. P, be persuaded that God is able to do it. C, embrace it for the particular situation. And see, begin to confess it. These people started to confess. Abraham changed his name. I will be the father of nations. He didn't even have a child. How can you be the father of nations when you don't even have a child? And his friends might have said, look, we've always knew that you were, you know, you didn't have it quite together. You know, but I mean, look at you. You don't even have a child, you know. Are you going to be the father of nations? Are you going to now, at this time, be do valiantly than more all of us put together? I mean, Look at us. We have our children right about us. We don't even call ourselves Father of Nations. And you don't even have a child. Father of Nations indeed. And they could have mocked him, but he said, I will be the Father of Nations. And he changed, and he started confessing it. And it took him 25 years. My goodness. Well, there might be reasons, different reasons, you know, why that happened. One of these is God left it there for our, you know, training to say that no matter how long it takes, you hang right in there. So we've covered these four elements of how you get fire under your prayer. You know, it's not by screaming, it's not by shouting. The fire is to accomplish the purpose. You do it this way. Stop. Have this big red stop sign when you're about to pray. Stop! Don't pray. Search the scriptures first, you know, and find a promise. Now, if you already know the scriptures, which you should, then let that scripture be on top of your lips when you pray. Quote the scripture back to God. It's not about telling him where it's found in the Bible. That's irrelevant. It's about you telling him what it says. Say it. You know, that's how you quote it back to God. I mean, those people that compile the Bible, they put chapters and verses and all of this to it. But, you know, you can, when they were quoting it, when the apostles were quoting the Old Testament, and they quoted it freely. Jesus even quoted the Psalms freely. He quoted the stories freely about David. He quoted this. They were not talking about chapters and verses and all of that. But they didn't have any of those things. You know, so it's not about quoting the chapter on the verse back to God. You know, some people say, well, you know, they're telling God it's written in this place and it's written in that place. It's not about that. God already knows where it is written. It's about you knowing what it says and the impact of what it says. Do you know what God has said in his word concerning the situation? And there are some blanket promises, but there are some conditions underneath. Blanket promises. You know, ask me anything and I will do it. That's like a blanket promise. But the condition is Lamentation 3:37. You cannot just go and be asking some crazy stuff that's against the word of God. And then say, well, you said I can ask anything and I will do it. No, he's not going to do it because it's not according to his word. You know, and you'll find if you go to 1 John, you know, you go to chapter 14. I mean, you know, 1 John chapter 5, you begin to see these principles also there. You know, they're in so many places in the Bible, you know. This principle is there also, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, so you can't just ask anything that's not according to his will. You ask anything that is according to his will, we know he hears us. And verse 15 says, because he hears us, we know that the whatsoever we ask, we will receive the petitions. We have the petitions. Because we started out by asking according to his will. How do we ask according to his will? You go find out what his will is on the subject. Search the scriptures. We're persuaded that you have this confidence that if you ask anything according to his will, he's hearing you. And do you know that because he's hearing you, you have what you are asking? Absolutely. So these are the steps. They look like baby steps, but this is how it works. You know, I cannot overemphasize this. It's not about yelling. It's not about screaming. Jesus said, don't use vain repetition when you pray. Don't just, you know, say things that don't mean anything. Speak the word of God back to him, you know. And, you know, because the only thing that God's really bound about is his word, you know, for his own name's sake. You know, so, you know, and when you say his word back to him, you know, then it's a done deal. The Bible says, look, in James chapter 5, if any man is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Well, if you are sick and you call for the elders of the church according to this word, and they lay their hands on you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, you will be healed. That's what the scripture says. But do people do that? Of course not. You know, when people are sick, they run to all kinds of other things. rather than do exactly what that scripture says. You know, so, you know, but if you can do what this scripture says, you know, and my goodness, but there are always conditions behind all these scriptures. So I've talked about, you know, speaking to God in prayer, using his word, you know, and so forth, finding the promise and finding the premise or condition behind the promise. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. But look at the if, you know, you can't just say, God, do this, heal my land, you know, and so forth, when you have not done those other things, you know. If there are many things that he says, even for healing, we know that Christ has already paid the price for our healing. We read that in Isaiah 53:5, and we jump forward to 1 Peter 2:24 and see that Christ has already done it, you know, but we still have to line up with the word of God for various things that he said. You know, don't ever think that, oh, because Christ is the fulfillment of the law, you know, then I don't have to do anything. Christ did it all. Maybe. But the same Christ that did it all said to you, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. He will keep my word. And Jesus used to tell them that, look, you know, you don't keep my word because you are not a God. Because he that is of God will hear my word and I will keep them. And if you keep my word, so powerful, you know, I mean, some of us are even, you know, we're seeking God for greater relationship, greater depth with God, a closer walk with God. And that's powerful. That is a powerful thing that we must want in our lives. But there is also conditions for these things. Enoch walked with God. Now, we want to walk with God. We want to have that kind of power. We want to go into translation. We want to do these things and so on and so forth. Well, you know, Jesus make it very plain here. John 14, he made it very plain from verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's right. You know. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. Manifest myself to him. What in the world does that mean? I mean, doesn't the Bible say that, you know, the Lord's presence is everywhere? You know, even Psalm 139 says, look, I cannot hide from your presence. I can't go anywhere. You know, I mean, even go down to the depths of hell, you know, you find me out anywhere, you know. I mean, why then you talking about, yeah, there is a difference between God's universal presence. Psalm 16 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Well, I tell you what, God's presence is everywhere, but there's no fullness of joy. There is no fullness of joy in this world. Right now, this world is bitter. There's hatred. There's war. There's rumors of wars. There's killings. You know, every time you turn on the television, you're going to hear some ugly thing that is happening. There is no fullness of joy, folks. Yet his presence is everywhere. So is that contradictory? No, because the presence that he's talking about is the manifested presence of God. I will manifest, not the universal presence. Universal presence is the one that, you know, they're talking about in Psalm 139. You know, no matter where I go, you are there. God is everywhere. Jehovah, you know, Shammah, the Lord is present everywhere. Well, that's not the kind of presence that gets it done. The one that gets it done is you keep his commandments. He that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. And when he loves me like that, I will love him. My Father will love him. You know, now some people think that, you know, God just loves everybody, you know, and oh, he just loves everybody. Yeah, God loves everybody. There is John 3:16 love. Okay. John 3:16. That's it. God so loved the world. But there is this John 14, 21 love, and also 23. John 14, 21 and 23. It's a different kind of love. It's a differentiated kind of love. You know, he said here in verse 23 of the same John 14, he said, he that if a man love me, you see, that's a condition. If a man love me, he will keep my words and my father will love him. Are you saying the father didn't love him before? My father will love him and we will come unto him and we will make our abode with him. Now, this is a different kind of presence. When you get into this kind of presence where he said, I will come. This is God chasing you now, not you chasing God. You already done your part. You already loved him with all your heart. You've already kept his word. You know, now he's coming after you. That's right. I will come to him and I will love him and I will make my abode with him. Now, this is a different kind of love. This is not John 3:16 love. This is Romans 8:28 kind of love. You know, where he says, all things work together for good to them that love God. Not to them that God loves. No. People think that, oh, God loves everybody, so everything. No. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his eternal purpose. Not to them that God loves, because God loves everybody. But when you love God, when you take time to demonstrate that, look, you are keeping his word, you are doing things according to his word, these are promises that are behind, must be behind getting fire into our prayer. Another one condition is in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. After Jesus gave all these great commandments that you can move the mountain, you can do all of these things and do all of that. And he said, look, and when you stand praying, forgive. Because if you don't forgive, then your prayer is not going anywhere. You know, so now we know. Let's put it into practice. You know, let's put it into practice. You know, I want you who are in the room, put some scriptures. You know, now the Bible says, look, study to show yourself approved. You know, study to show yourself approved. You know, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. You need to know the word of God. If you don't know it, the devil will twist you up. Because he knows it. And he'll twist it just enough to get you all confused and miss the mark. So you need to know the word of God for yourself. Isaiah 8 and 20, once again. To the law and to the testimony. If it is not according to this word, it's because there's no light in it. So don't even mess with it. You know, don't mess with any kind of prayer that's not according to the word of God. You know, don't pray for destruction of your enemies. That's not according to the word of God. Not in the New Testament. You know, in the New Testament, you need to pray, you know, for your enemies. Jesus said, pray for your enemies, you know, and pray for them that despitefully use you and all of that. You know, don't worry about heaping coals of fire upon them. God will take care of that. That's not your concern. You know, you just, you know, pray for God to have mercy upon them. Jesus, when they were stoning him to death, he said, Father, have mercy upon them. They don't know what they're doing. Stephen, the same thing. When they were stoning him to death, he said, Father, have mercy upon them. They don't know what they're doing. Did you know that Jesus Christ stood up, you know, and gave Stephen a standing ovation? He said, Stephen said, I see the Son of God on the right hand of power standing up. He wasn't sitting, but he was already seated. He was seated in heavenly places. But when, you know, when Stephen did the ultimate thing and prayed for those who were stoning him to death, Jesus stood up and gave him a standing ovation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, so prayer that is according to the word of God. Just pray any kind of prayer. Glory to God. So that's what we're going to do this morning. I want you who are in the room, I want you to paste a promise. Yes, there are zillions of them in this Bible. Paste a promise in the chat room. Let's use this chat room. It's a great feature that, you know, Clubhouse has added to this thing. You know, post the scripture here and post the promise, you know, and then let's use that promise to pray. That's right, you know. So this is the pattern we must follow from now on. It's a pattern that you must follow from now on. Don't just pray, but first find the promise. Glory to God. And if you want to, look, I always invite people to come to the stage. Sometimes they can, sometimes they don't. And I know many reasons why people may not come. You may be in a noisy place. You may be, you know, maybe you are just still checking out the room or whatever, you know, and that's okay. But I want you to come, you know, and I, you know, I'm going to send you, invites, you know, come and make your declaration with the word of God, you know, come, you know, post it in the, and even if you can't speak, post it in the chat room, but you've got to give voice to it. You know, the written word of God is great, but it comes alive by your voice. That's why the Bible said, this word shall not depart from your mouth. It didn't say depart from your heart. You know, depart from your mouth. You know, you got to speak it. You got to give voice to it. Psalm 103 verse 20 says, when you give voice to God's word, the angels that excel in strength that are listening for it, they will go into operation. Read it again for yourself. Psalm 103 verse 20. Bless ye the Lord, ye his hosts, ye angels that excel in strength, you know, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So does the word have a voice? Absolutely. The word of God has a voice, and that voice is in your mouth. You know, so you've got to say it. You know, that's what Romans chapter 10 tells us. He said, look, don't look for Christ in the grave. He is no longer there, you know. And don't say, oh, who's going to bring him up from heaven, you know. Read it from verse 7 of Romans 10. He says, who shall descend into the deep to bring Christ up again from the dead? You know, and all that. You know, who's going to go into heaven? Read it from verse 6 rather. You know, he said, look, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. That righteousness is even speaking on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven to bring Christ down? Well, you know, can I go to heaven and bring Christ down to do work for me? Or who shall go into the deep to bring him up again? No! You know, he said the word is in thee, is even in thy mouth. It's already there, but you must speak it. So I want you to come and make declarations for yourself this morning. Or at least put it in the chat room if you cannot come. If you think, well, I'm in a place where I can't speak. Well, that's okay. Paste what you are looking for from the Lord in the chat room. That also lets me know that you follow this lesson. And I thank everybody that's been here. You've been here now listening to me for an hour. You know, so prove that prove the fruit of what you've got here. You know, show that you understand this thing. The process. Find the scripture first of what we are believing God for. You know, find that promise and put it before the Lord. You know, what am I believing God for? Put it there before the Lord. You know, and it's a whole lot easier for you to get your prayers answered. That's why I said at the beginning, this will get you close to 100%, perhaps even 100% of getting your prayers answered. Why? Because you start with what God already said. You know, and when you start with what God already said, you just need to figure out if you have met the conditions. And if you do that, that's the S. The P is to be persuaded that God is able to do what you're asking. Don't pray if you are not persuaded. It just doesn't work. You know, they were persuaded. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. And he will deliver us. When you're persuaded, embrace that promise for the particular situation. That comes to the question, believest thou this? You believe it for this situation? Not do you believe that God is able to do all things? We know that. But do you believe this one thing? Whatever it is this morning, what is the one thing that you would like the Lord to do for you today? Do you believe that he can do this one thing and that he will do it? Do you believe that? That's embracing it. And then once you do all of those three steps, the final step is to confess it. Begin to confess. That means, well, not only with your mouth, actually with your mouth mostly, but also with your way of life. You got to change your living to match what you are saying. You can't be saying one thing and doing something else. You can't be saying, I'm believing something else. You know, that's why the Bible says, show me your faith by your works. If you say you have faith, then get up from the sick bed already. You know, that's why Jesus and them, you know, the disciples, they used to say, take up thy bed and walk. You know, take up thy bed. Why was that so important? Get up from the bed. If you say the Lord healed you, you know, act like you're healed. Don't act like you're sick, you know, and so forth. You know, you're believing God for something, you know, act like it already. You know, hey man, praise God. You're believing God to get married if you're single. I'm passionate about single people. My wife and I host our marriage ministry and we're always passionate about that. But you gotta act like it, you know. You gotta start acting like, you know, the Bible says the bride makes herself ready. Gotta make yourself ready. You gotta act like it, you know. Even for your children, you gotta start doing. You know, I know what we were preparing, and my wife is a, you know, champion of it. Be preparing for an event years in advance. We start buying invitation cards, start sewing the clothes we're going to wear when there is even no husband anywhere. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's right. The evidence of what you have not even yet seen. You know, you begin to act like it. You begin to do it. You know, some people say dress for success. Absolutely. You know, don't, you know, look, you know, put your mouth where your money is at. Some people say that, you know, put your action where your mouth is at is what I say rather. You know, put your action where your mouth is at. If you say it this way, then be like that, you know, and act like it. Praise God. So we're going to pray now. Enough already on that. And I think you got it. You know, you got this in your hand right now. Hold fast. Don't let any man, don't let anything steal this concept from you. This is how you get your prayers answered. So let's pray. Glory to God.